Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion around her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. It is great to be here, and I am in studio at my client's beautiful boardroom, the America's Christian Credit Union. The CEO laughingly asked if I would mention them today since I am on site taking break time, and I said, I am always glad to do that, particularly in light of that today we have done our 500th adoption loan. So,
wow.
500 new families created out of this relationship and the leadership of Mendel Thompson, who also celebrated his 35th year with the company. So if that isn't tenure and tenacity, I don't know what is. So a shout out to America's Christian Credit Union.
Indeed, indeed. And Lori, this adoption loan, or this adoption program, I'm sorry, where people make loans at the credit union for adoptions. Explain that. Just take a couple minutes and talk to us about that.
Well, the cost of adoption is extremely high. It can run anywhere from $10,000 to $22,000. The average cost now is $30,000. And that includes care for the birth mother, any attorneys that are involved, travel to international countries if it's an international adoption. Most people don't have that kind of cash laying around, and yet they have the desire to honor the true religion, which is to care for widows and orphans. And so we saw the need and stepped into that for people. Even though it's an unsecured loan and banks were fleeing from it, I felt and the team agreed that these are good people and they deserve the credit, literally and figuratively, and it's just been a wildly successful program with a lot of meaning.
Wow. And I know you were very instrumental in helping that launch as well, correct?
Yes, God gave me the idea one day as I was driving on the freeway. So after having done a lot of thinking about how to position ourselves with signature loans, that would be with high quality signature loans for the customer. So it has proven to be a great program.
Well, this is a great segue to our principal in this release section of your book, Teach Your Team to Fish. He sent them out uninsured.
Right.
You know, when you think about parents who have, you know, tried to have children for so long for so many reasons that they cannot, do they feel encumbered? So the credit union is sending individuals and families and couples out in an unencumbered way into parenthood, at least initially.
Right. Right. That's right. And, you know, with tax credits, I think the tax credit is $13,000. So there's just a lot of incentives for people, and nothing makes up for the lifetime care of a child. You know, that's a significant investment. But if we can give people a boost up and help them not worry about that initial cost to get that baby they want to raise, then we feel like we've done our job.
That's great. Well, this chapter here in your book, in the release section, so we've gone through the excite, grounding, transformation, and now we're in the release, how Jesus led his team. And one of the things that struck me in this book is you bring out, in this chapter, you talk about the three ways that really Jesus encouraged trust, built trust, identified trust, how he really talked to his team through the eyes of trust, so that when he said, take nothing for your journey except a stick, they believed him.
Right.
You know? That was so powerful. I'm going to just read right here, Lori, before you jump in. It says, Jesus's lack of packing list showed amazing trust. First of all, he knew God would protect his team. Second, he knew that the things they needed would be provided for. And third, he knew they would meet enough of the right people on the way to make their journey successful. What a powerful picture of trust. Mm. How does a leader develop that trust and then release a team or individuals on a team to feel unencumbered on their task or journey?
Well, you know, I think that somewhere along the way, and this could be our consumer society, but we have lost the notion or the belief, and I include myself in this group, that things will appear as they are needed. You know, Jesus didn't drag a donkey around with him because he knew one day he would need it to ride through Jerusalem.
It
was there when he needed it. And, you know, there's a program in San Diego now called Cars to Go, and you see these little cars that are so cute, and you just pay for it while you use it, and then you leave it, and someone else can pick it up. And there's an unencumberedness about not having a car payment sitting there and all of those things. So I think that maybe we are moving to that lightness of being. But in a discussion today in one of our meetings, there was, you know, there's a lot of new banking regulations and business models are having to change because of these regulations. And I mused with the group. I said, you know, this is the way we've done business for the last 20 years, but it doesn't mean that we still can't do business. If that model were turned upside down, I said, you know, Paul grew a church out of a shipwreck.
Right.
And I think everybody nodded, and it's like, yes, we need to remember who our source is, that it will appear as it's needed. But we weigh ourselves down with worry and too much baggage.
Yeah, and of course this particular text in Mark chapter 6, verse 8 that you cite in this chapter, he instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. Wow, we would, you know, I can't see you leaving on this world leaders conference at the end of the month taking just a walking stick.
As long as it has my cell phone, my GPS, my automated credit card system, you know, we're coming to a point where you can have almost everything you need on a walking stick.
Yeah, this is interesting because obviously the culture and the in the first century was quite a bit different than what it is today. Mm-hmm. So what was Jesus saying there, Lori, about take nothing, get rid of the baggage, you know, leave everything behind that would encumber you, and just take your walking stick. I mean,
mm-hmm.
powerful.
Yeah, he was talking there about being responsive to the Spirit, becoming a good listener. If all you have is a walking stick, you're going to be looking for shelter, and you're going to be looking for, you know, you're going to be more aware of possibilities when you're not dragging everything with you. I think what he was saying is don't be so self-sufficient that you're not spirit responsive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too that people who are bogged down with too much theology or too much sense of sin or too much sense of know-it-all, you know, they can't fit through that eye of the needle he was talking about. The children, you must become like a child, which is simple and trusting. Don't carry a bunch of baggage with you when you travel. And also this lightness of obligation. If they won't receive you, don't sit there, make them wrong, beat them up, try for years and years to get them to agree. You know, it's like, well, move on. He was very much a wind in that regard. You know,
yeah.
This is tough to swallow for the earths among us, I'm sure.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So we know it's not literal, you know, just take your walking stick with you to Florida next week when you go. But it's more figurative here that helps us get our head around, you know, as leaders, as teachers, as pastors, as educators, that sometimes we make it too hard for people. So consequently,
yeah.
they don't join. You know, they don't follow. They don't imagine or create or be part of something that is you know, could be very magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Because we continually make it too difficult. So that's the piece that I see there. Yeah.
Too many rules and regulations. You know, I was thinking, I was reading the book War by Sebastian Younger, and he was talking about some of the bureaucracies in the Army, and when they were releasing this group that had been in Afghanistan for years, this one guy went AWOL, got drunk, and beat up somebody. But then he came back, and so they said, you have to get arrested so that you won't get arrested. And it was like, what? You know, so it was this tangle. When you look on it on paper, it was just so ridiculous. And the guy was just trying to, you know, get home. But if you think about the Lazarus principle, which, as you know, or anybody who has listened to me for any length of time knows, that I believe that's the essential gospel story, unbind him.
Right.
And set him free. Don't bind yourself up with preconceived notions. Don't bind yourself up with what you think you know. If God is any kind of God, it's a God of God showing us surprises. The story in the gospel is surprise, surprise, surprise. A little baby.
Right.
Surprise. You know, a woman gets to be the first evangelist. Surprise.
Yes.
So do we have that sense of always looking up in a state of wonder and trust? Because what he was telling him, which you so beautifully pointed out in the opening of the show, is he was saying, trust. Trust God.
Yeah. And how simple that sounds, and yet how complex it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, particularly, I think, for leaders today to build trust in teams or communities or congregations, is, you know, it takes a lot of time. One might think it takes a lot of time, but maybe not. Maybe if people weren't so encumbered by the rules, the regulations, the taxing, the, you know, the tradition, you know, it might be easier to trust each other. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, and I have I'm aware of a situation a friend of mine is in, and the church is really up in arms. Some of the members of the church are up in arms about the new music director they hired, and this guy attended a meeting, and he says, don't change my church. Well, all he would have to do is go to the second service, which has the traditional music, but he will not change. But he doesn't want anybody else to change around him, but he's not willing. It's already there for him if he would take a step to the right, right, or to the left. And so that inflexibility, that stiff-neckedness, N-E-C-K-E-D-N-E-S,
yes,
instead of nakedness, you know, that God had no patience with that. Stiff-necked people were always reprimanded and punished, because they could not see the solutions on either side. We must be mobile. We must be flexible. And that's the essence of being unencumbered. Get rid of your debt. Get rid of your false self-notions. Be born again. Not literally. That's where the scribes and Pharisees stumbled. You know, it's like, well, you can't enter the mother's womb and come back out again. It's like, don't you get it? It's a mindset. It's a heart set. See things anew. With new eyes.
Right. A transformation from within, or a transformation from without, as you've indicated there. So great discussion here, Lori. We are under about 30 seconds. So thank you so much for, again, gracing us with your insight into teams and the way that Jesus held, led, fed, and, you know, walked with his team, just taking with us this concept of unencumberedness. What a great word for the week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shelley. And I think this thing that's resonating with me today is, you know, Paul built a church out of a shipwreck. Certainly we can do the same.
Yeah.
Don't get too attached to the form of things. So thank you, Shelley, for hosting the show once again.
All right. Well, have a great evening, and we'll be back next week, I believe.
All right. Blessings to you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.